Welcome to the MEP podcast, where I'll be exploring the intersection of sport and spirituality through a variety of practices that ultimately invite us to learn, grow, and connect. I believe that through movement and mindfulness, we can create an awareness within that will allow us to integrate as individuals and connect more deeply to our mind, body, and spirit, together navigating a way to the way. On this episode of the podcast, I sit down with Caitlin Lehman, PhD, founder and visionary for recently opened Quantum Clinic here in Los Angeles. That was how I came across her and what she's doing. I had been looking for a float tank somewhat near me, and when I found this place online, it looked super interesting. So since then, I've been back at least a handful of times, and I think it's extremely beautiful, inspiring, and definitely they have some powerful modalities and technologies at work to facilitate the healing of ourselves. In this episode, I talked to Caitlin about the Quantum Clinic, her work leading up to opening the clinic. We talk a lot about coherence and the frequencies they use at the clinic. So if you're in LA, I highly recommend checking out the Quantum Clinic. And if not, then hopefully you can enjoy the podcast in the meantime in our conversation. All right. Well, Caitlin, great to have you on. I'm excited about the conversation. I'm excited to learn more about you. So thank you for being open to the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Ryan.
So I kind of found you through the Quantum Clinic, which is a pretty newly opened space in Los Angeles, which is quite inspiring. And we'll definitely get into that. But to start, I would love to hear a little bit about your journey as a human and a professional that sort of led you up into working with these kind of pretty innovative technologies and working at a pretty complex, even if it may be simple, kind of space within the sort of healing, performance, health.
Sure. Yeah, no, thank you so much for that introduction. Actually, I'm noticing inside of myself in this moment a little bit of a flutter. So I'm wondering if, Ryan, you might be willing to kind of have an experience of connecting with the heart before we start this larger conversation so that we can really kind of come together for it and for our listeners. Anybody listening to this, this is something that we can do together here. And that'll help frame, and I can explain it, give it a little bit more language to describe why we do this afterwards. But would you be open to that?
Yes, definitely.
Great. Okay, so I think we're both seated here. Maybe just taking a moment to just kind of tune in. Close your eyes if that feels comfortable. Taking a few deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. Allowing your attention to shift from wherever it may be into what we'll call the energetic center of your heart. Really feeling and sensing into that heart center. Allowing your attention to rest there. Perhaps placing a hand on your heart if you would like. Now we're going to do the fun part, which is to activate a positive or life-affirming emotional state. This can be something like joy, love, deep appreciation, or gratitude. perhaps calling in a memory of something or someone who you shared that emotional state with. Really allowing yourself to feel it in the heart. Now, using your imagination, begin to envision that emotional energy radiating outwards from your heart, enveloping all that you are and all that is. And now, Ryan, you and I are going to send that energy into the future in the next 45 minutes to an hour that we have here together. We're just going to hold this entire conversation from a place of love and gratitude and deep appreciation for one another and for this time together. Wonderful.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. So that's heart-brain coherence, right? It's something that can be achieved in really in less than 30 seconds, though, you know, we may have, I wasn't paying attention to time or space while we were in the meditation, so maybe a couple minutes. What it does is it shifts your brainwave patterns from stress or beta or normal waking state brainwaves into alpha, theta, or deeper states of presence, creativity, etc. Or actually over, I think it's over 1,000 biomarkers which shift when you're able to facilitate that shift into a state of heart-brain coherence. So this is sort of a central aspect of everything that we do here at Quantum Clinic. You know, we really think of ourselves as a space to rest, a space to tune in, and a space to discover and remember your innate frequency. And you know, this is sort of a return to more indigenous or earth-centric ways of being and knowing, and trusting that you are a part of the web of life that is manifest through you in this lifetime. And attuning oneself to that energetic frequency allows you to tap into kind of a state of, or a way of being in the world, which is more grounded, more present, more attuned and aware to all that is around, within and around you. And it can really support a whole host of, you know, kind of pro environmental, pro-social, pro-emotional, and psychological aspects of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting, like how simple of a practice can have such ripple effects through, you know, all aspects of your life and body and mind and beyond.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
So, I guess, you know, starting with this kind of like work with frequency and coherence, maybe you can kind of share what led you to sort of finding this work?
Yeah.
What was this through there?
Absolutely. So my background is in kind of a traditional APA accredited clinical psychology route. I have a doctorate in clinical psychology from a professional school here in Los Angeles. Went through, you know, all of the kind of standard training that's a part of that. So I really, for the last decade, have been working with people, you know, one-on-one and in groups, with a variety, in a variety of different kind of both community settings. So working with kind of serious mental illness, major mood disorders, schizophrenia, bipolar, that type of stuff, and dual diagnosis. So a lot of addictions. And then I did quite a bit of what's called forensic work. So I worked with people exiting the incarceration system who were convicted of sex offenses, as well as people seeking asylum status or refugee status. I'm also fluent in Spanish, so I worked a lot with monolingual Spanish-speaking populations here in Los Angeles County. And then, you know, during the pandemic, right prior to the pandemic, I had my I became a mother, and then so I took some time off from that work. And then the pandemic happened. And, you know, as I was beginning to reflect on, you know, re-entering the workforce after taking some time off with my child, I decided I wanted to develop a different model of working with people on a psychological and emotional level. One that is obviously rooted in empirical science, but that kind of flips the prevailing script around health and human functioning, right? So often people who seek therapy or seek, you know, psychological or emotional support for whatever it is that they're going through, think of there as being something wrong with them and they must go to an expert to solve that problem, right? And so what we wanted to say is, well, actually, you know, you have an innate desire to be in alignment with your highest self, with your highest potential for healing, for wholeness. And could we provide a space that educated and empowered clients with the tools and the skills to be able to do that for themselves? So really holding space, you know, using a lot of those clinical skills that, you know, we're trained and developed to have as psychologists, but also then, you know, moving away from a model of talk therapy. I wanted to see if there was a way to kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Circumvent traditional cognitive approaches to stress management. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people just end up talking about what stresses them out. And it's sort of this vicious cycle where you end up getting more stress, because certainly there is an element of catharsis in talking about the things that bother us. But really, how do you actually shift that is through affect, through these kind of deeper energetic practices, working with the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So had you been using, you know, this kind of heart brain coherence practice with clients before the pandemic, or is that something you had discovered?
Well, heart brain coherence is a the organization that has done the most research on this is an institute called the HeartMath Institute. They're based in the Bay Area in Santa Cruz. We do retail their biofeedback sensors and use them as part of our since you've been here, you know that we hook up a little biofeedback sensor to the ear and coach in this meditative practice that you can then witness, you know, on the app, the shift in your brainwave patterns. So HeartMath has been around for over 30 years. They have an enormous research database, which is available to the public at heartmathinstitute.org. So anybody who's interested in diving deeper into the research there can go and check it out. Why that? Well, I mean, you know, because it's what I do, right? It's how I've found inside of my own self, the, presence and ability to respond more adaptively, with greater ease, to stressful situations, which we all face in life, right? Like it's not, you know, we can't change that which occurs, in our lives. There's a lot that's out of control. But how we respond to those stressful situations is within our control. And so when you really understand kind of like how that works at a biophysical level, with the heart controlling afferent, information to the brain, which then, you know, regulates the whole symphony that is you, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. It seems like, duh, we should all be doing this. but, you know, kind of aside from that, like, yeah, I was also raised by two transpersonal psychologists, lifelong Buddhist practitioners. I grew up in the Bay Area, attending all of these like non-dualist kind of philosophical, spiritual thinkers. And so that's kind of my upbringing. It's sort of in my DNA, so to speak, this way of being. And our clients really benefit from it. It's something that we see a lot of people really, you know, report a sort of almost mystical or transcendent experience of being here and coming to the space and doing these practices in the isolation tanks. There's something kind of sacred and special about the work. So we're really excited to be doing it. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting. Like I sometimes find myself jealous of people who grew up with that sort of like education, in a way, you know, like I didn't know anything about any of that until probably I was 30 or so. It was around then that I got my first coach after encountering some challenges health-wise and realizing there was some emotional mental stuff going on too. And he had trained as a heart math, like instructor. And so he was like, hey, buy this thing and plug it in and, you know, do it for, I want to say it was like 6 minutes a day, you know. And I remember going on work trips and being in strange places and like clipping this thing on my ear and doing it and just trusting him really. And, you know, and starting to slowly understand a little bit of that process and experiencing that coherence taking place.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's generally known and extremely common that we are sort of disconnected between our mind and our body and you know, our heart being the sort of center of that. And so It really does feel like a unifying experience of the two. And rather than being controlled by our mind and its thoughts, it's like a regrounding, a recentering to like bring back into the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, they you know, they say in many traditions, the longest journey is that from the head to the heart, right? And Ram Dass is famous for saying that of all of the social institutions that we can focus on, you know, the individual human heart is the one that needs our attention. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're able to do that in this lifetime, if we're able to remember that it's this is the center of all that is, right? And, you know, then what could happen in our world? I mean, I don't know. I'm a bit of an optimist, but.
Well, we need that. We need some optimism.
Yeah.
And it does seem like more and more people are sort of discovering this and prioritizing this recentering.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a huge management and leadership trend right now. I see more and more and more people, you know, out there in the big, you know, speaking venues talking about the benefits of heart-brain coherence. It's like really kind of saturated into the cultural awareness, certainly in many communities and cultures, the importance of these practices. And, you know, Quantum Clinic, we really think of as just a model for a new type of preventative wellness space where that's central, right? Core to what it is then we offer with our services.
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of this space, like Joe Dispenza is one of the kind of bigger names, I would say, that I've found and read his books, and he really works with this core to his process. I've never attended any of his workshops or anything like that in person, but I'm curious if he's somebody who you've dove into, or if there's other people in this field that have sort of been leading the way, that have sort of inspired you to continue to go deeper and...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Dr. Joe is by far, I would say, in the kind of new age spiritual community, one of the foremost speakers on this paradigm shift, right, in understanding healing through coherence. Dr. Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, they're all of the doctors at HeartMath Institute who have been instrumental in bringing this forward. You know, today we often think of, you know, those who have a brand recognition as being at the forefront of it. And certainly it's not to minimize that work, but there are millions of people around the planet who are practicing this and who are, you know, doing it on the daily. And really, you know, what's important to me is someone who looks at communities and, you know, well-being from the perspective of social relationships is about, you know, it's about demystifying it and saying like, no, it's not me as the expert who, you know, is all knowing about, you know, these skills. This is an innate thing that we can all do. And, you know, I want to help empower you with that knowledge, so that you can do it you can experience it, right? Because you can read about it in books, but it's an experiential and a lived thing. When you shift from being more of a, you know, brain-centered being to a heart-centered one, your entire worldview changes. Your relationships improve, your relationship to yourself improves. You're able to communicate more effectively in a variety of contexts, and you know, you're able to kind of bounce back. We talk about it like a resetting your baseline for distress tolerance, right? So these techniques have been used with you know, war veterans, with first responders, police officers, medical personnel in hospitals, high stress hospital situations. This is not a trend, right? It's a really empirically grounded scientific understanding of the benefit of, you know, consciously and intentionally cultivating that life-affirming emotional state of being on a moment-by-moment basis. And the big structural shift is if you can begin to spend a greater proportion of your day in coherence as opposed to not in a state of coherence, right? And when you're, because it's always changing, you are not a static being, you're constantly in a state of motion. You are, you know, life is ecstatic motion, I think there's some sort of Rumi quote about that. But, so if you can kind of do the work to be conceiving of yourself in this, you know, energetic way, it has real tangible benefits for how you show up in life.
I have just a quick question. So like, is it a state of being in coherence or out of coherence, or is there every shade of gray in between?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's not a binary thing. So coherence is actually a power ratio of that's calculated based on your heart rate variability. So I don't have the formula committed to memory But I could pull it up if you're interested. So basically they take a measure of your heart rate variability. And what happens is that as you become more and more coherent, your brainwave patterns and the heart rate as measured by heart rate variability begins to become more and more sign-like. So high peaks and low valleys. Whereas when you're not as coherent, it's more staggered, like a little bit jumpy. Your heart rate variability is less regular. So it's a way to kind of tune the electromagnetic field resonance of your entire being in a way that aligns it with from where we come, right? Like we are of this earth. We are beings of this universe. Like we are attuned, when you attune to that, your perspective can shift.
Yeah. The phrase that's been coming to me that I refer to that as is like the pace of nature.
Yes.
Our natural place of harmony that we are sort of dysregulated from. So it's a return to that. Whereas like, you know, a tree isn't getting anxious and losing me because it's stressed out about summer being too hot in a couple months.
Right. Right.
Present pulse and the frequencies going on in the moment. And so, yeah, I guess the step back into more coherence is our version of.
Is a return to source, is a return to nature. It's the way of tuning, like a tuning fork. It's the way of tuning yourself to the resonant frequency from which you come, which is to be one with all that is.
And so, you know, that more coherent sort of smooth up and down peaks and valleys of the heart rate variability versus the more jumpy sort of sharp changes, that makes me think of, you know, like a healthy nervous system basically versus a dysregulated nervous system is going to be once you have that sort of like ventral vagus, you know, cord, you're able to have, it should be more smooth and flowing like that rather than how many of us live where it's much more jumpy and sharp and
right.
You know, does this practice, does this coherence directly correlate to that nervous system in terms of that?
Absolutely. The heart actually directly communicates with the brain, right? It sends more afferent, so that's to the heart, to the brain, information than the brain does to the heart. And, you know, in terms of electromagnetic information, the heart is generating 500 times more electrical information than the brain. And I'm going to get this wrong. Oh, I'm so bad with remembering statistics. I need to like have a little cheat sheet so that I can remember my statistics. But I think it's something like 500 times more electrical information and 5,000 times more magnetic information. I might be getting those numbers wrong, but think of it in terms of a ratio. Right? There's a significantly larger proportion of information that is generated from the heart. And you can think of the brain as like a receiver of that information. So the brain is processing all of that and then working to regulate the nervous system. But it begins with the heart. And specifically, what we're understanding from the literature and the research on this is that it starts with our intentional cultivation of those pro life-affirming, positive emotional or affective states, that is the mechanism whereby we can shift that whole symphony of information that is the central nervous system. So it downregulates the production of cortisol. It induces the release of DHEA in the brain. I think there's over 1,000 biomarkers that are shifted when you're able to access a state of coherence for yourself. So the big what I call structural shift is, can you do these practices with enough frequency and enough intentional practice that it becomes your baseline? It becomes the default state from which you operate in the world. And to your point about, you know, you use the word harmony. I think that's a really important word, because it is sort of like music. If you're out of tune with the truth of our beingness, then you're going to experience dis-ease, right? And if you're in tune, you know, as the theory goes, right, then you will experience greater harmony. And at the level of your epigenetics, which is how our, you know, environment and experiences affect our genetic predisposition or for illness, or in this case for health, right? If you're in greater harmony, then the theory would go that you're allowing for an epigenetic expression of health. And so this is where we kind of like get into the role of imagination, and, you know, what are sensations, images, feelings, and thoughts, right? SIFT. It's a feedback loop for you to learn more about yourself. And to find those ways in which you're out of, you know, where you're experiencing dissonance, or disharmony, and be able to shift yourself back into that state of coherence or harmony.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, it's so interesting and beautiful, you know, that we have this capability within a few minutes, and makes me think, I've been doing some pretty interesting like work around the nervous system, and the woman teaching the course talks about the brain as it's really like an end organ, whereas we treat it like everything comes from the brain and starts with the brain. But the reality is it is only reacting to what we're feeling, and usually from a sort of distorted perspective and level of information. And so, yeah, coming back to the body, you know, like you said, like you can read all the books and think about it as much as you want, but without the felt experience,
right,
we don't necessarily have, you know, the wisdom and a deeper sort of knowing of that truth.
And integration of it, right? That which is what's so important, you know, in today's society, especially here in Los Angeles, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of people, there's a whole crowd of folks who like, you know, love to pay lots of monies to go on retreat or whatever, like go and do ayahuasca, right? They have this enormous heart opening experience where they're just so connected to themselves and love. And those experiences are incredibly profound and supportive for a lot of people. But then you come back to your life and it's like, whoa, how do I make sense of this? Right. So I really want, when I created Quantum Clinic, I really wanted to create a space for people to integrate and to allow for that, you know, that nervous system healing that you're referencing, and to create a space and a service offering that very kind of intentionally creates the circumstance whereby folks can have that reparative experience within themselves. And then, you know, in the lounge in the back, have an opportunity to integrate that deeper, right? We have a body map that outlines, you know, the different parts of the nervous system, actually. you know, people can use crayons or pastels to draw on that and whatever way they want, and other kind of tactile sensory experiences to kind of bring yourself back into, you know, the here and now.
So I wanted to ask you as well, this kind of like concept of, you know, whether it's, you know, going and doing an ayahuasca ceremony or seeing a psychologist or, you know, many examples, like a lot of people, and I've been in this camp, are looking for someone or something to heal them or cure them or make them whole. I guess, you know, people seek that in partnerships and in relationships as well. But really, you know, like you shared earlier, this idea of like, well, we are the medicine, you know, we are the lock-in, the key ourselves.
Yeah.
Practices that facilitate ourselves to heal ourselves. And ultimately that is the way. And I'm curious, as you've, you know, been doing this work and with a variety of different communities and people, and you know, is that concept something that people are generally easily adopting, or is that a tough like shift to make, I think?
Well, I mean, our culture has a long way to go. You know, there are a lot of very significant structural impediments to, you know, the realization of this on Earth right now. But I think, you know, our collective traumatic experiences over all of human history have led us to this point, right? A point in time when we've sort of collectively met or exceeded the carrying capacity of the planet to sustain our, you know, our species, one could argue. And so if you look at evolutionary sciences, you understand that a species always evolves in direct and indirect relationship to environmental constraints. And we've met those at the planetary scale. So we are, you know, essentially this is an adapt or die moment, you know, and there are many sort of pragmatic solutions to the problems that we're facing systemically. But again, to kind of bring it back to what we're talking about here, unless we do that from a place of heart-centered connection to the self, to our inherent embeddedness in the web of creation, our solutions will be band-aids. They will fail to address the deeper issue, which is that we perceive ourselves as superior to all other beasts of nature, you know, and it's like, no, we are that. So how can we find ways to collectively create greater social coherence or harmony? And that begins at the level of the individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such simple, like contextual understanding, I find. Like, I think, I don't remember what it is, but I'm pretty sure the definition of nature in the dictionary is like separate from humankind. Like, it's literally like separate. And, you know, I remember,
isn't that so Eurocentric of us?
And yeah, I remember
Merriam-Webster.
Like a year or two, probably a couple years ago, I was like, oh, I need to spend more time in nature. You know, I need to like go be in nature more. And then I was like, oh, right, I am in nature all of the time. It's the only place I am. And just be in it.
Though urban settings, right, do have different lines, right? The geometry of urban settings is quite different from, you know, the geometry found in nature. And so there is something, and there's lots of studies on this, you know, on the impact of grounding, of just taking your shoes off and putting your feet on the earth, and, you know, the impact of time spent in, you know, natural environments, right? You take children from, you know, very urban areas, and you take them out on nature walks, they experience a whole host of positive benefits from that just exposure, right, to natural systems. So there is, I don't want to, yes, you know, it is all nature, right, because it is of us, but also there is a significant difference between highly urban environments and those which, you know, things grow organically and naturally.
And I, one of the biggest disruptors of our sort of constructed nature is to our circadian rhythm. And I was listening to something recently, and they talked about a study where just two nights of camping in a year drastically improved people's circadian rhythm, which contributes to lots of cascading health benefits.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and you know, one of the reasons we chose to build Quantum Clinic here on the historic LA River was that very thing, right? You know, the my work has always sort of sat at the intersection of kind of these global or macro level environmental and social issues and intra-individual change. And so I've always kind of been grappling with kind of this you know, big picture meets little picture kind of dynamic. And so the choice to build this facility, this clinic here along the LA River, which is you know, in the section of it that has been, you know, preserved, the Army Corps of Engineers did not cement over the basin. So it has what's called a soggy bottom here just north of downtown in Frogtown or Elysian Valley, where we're located, is so that when people come here, they're reminded, though we are in this massive, you know, urban environment, city complex, when there are still places, there are still spaces, you know, just 10 minutes from downtown LA, where you can see all sorts of different kinds of wildlife. We have falcons, we have great gray and blue herons, green herons, we have ducks and geese and frogs. Frogtown gets its name for having these very small frog species here in the LA River. Back in the 80s and 90s, apparently, they were so populous that they were found in all of the homes in the neighborhoods around here. But not, they're not as many of those frogs anymore. And then also being faced with the reality of pollution in our waterways, right? Here, there's an enormous amount of trash in the river, which is a, you know, a micro cosmic example of a global issue of pollution of our waterways, of our sources of fresh, both freshwater and seawater, are littered with, you know, microplastics, and in this case, you know, shopping carts and blankets and
Not so much.
yeah, not so micro, but that's a real issue all over the globe, and so choosing to bring a business here kind of served for me that dual purpose of both the exposure to natural systems and also highlighting the complexity around the issues that we face collectively.
Yeah, and I think there is a felt experience of that because you hear the birds and you hear the water running, especially with the winter we've had. And, you know, there is like robust life, yet it's also held in this kind of brutalist river structure and surrounding area. So yeah, it's like magical. You know, I think it's like it's a reminder of how powerful nature is, you know, to find life and thrive and it's as it can in these kind of unique situations. And then to, you know, go into the clinic and, you know, the environment of the clinic is very serene, I would say. And to, you know, it offers a the opportunity or invitation to connect with that experience, I think, certainly. So I'd love to get into what you are, you know, sharing with the clinic. And sort of like really there's two services plus the lounge, like you mentioned, opportunity.
So all of our services incorporate an element of biofeedback training in the exercise that we did at the beginning, heart brain coherence. So that's built into what a customer or client can expect as a part of their service here. There is a meditation at the beginning of one service to kind of orient you to space and place, to get you connected and in your heart. And then we have two services. One is called a scalar upgrade, which I'm happy to discuss in a moment, and the other is flotation rest with frequency therapy. So flotation rest stands for reduced environmental stimulus therapy with frequency therapy. So these are Hertz frequencies known to support stress reduction, relaxation, activation of the chakra system, and then what are called solfeggio tones and or source frequencies. And those are generally known and associated with things like emotional processing, letting go, remembering, connecting to the higher powers, et cetera. Sort of Hertz frequency is known to help support, again, that deep autonomic nervous system regulation, repair, and regenesis, balancing of the brain hemispheres, and supporting deep emotional integration. Some of the benefits of flotation therapy include reducing inflammation and reducing stress as well. So this is great for anybody with chronic pain, fibromyalgia pain, arthritic pain, anybody who's pre-op, like maybe you have a hip surgery or a knee surgery or something going on. And then on the psychological and emotional and performance side of things, this is known to support, the Dodgers and the Cubs actually won the World Series after installing a float tank in their training facility. So like, it's really well known to top elite athletes and people who's, are really motivated by performance, that this type of space and this service can really benefit that, because you're sort of, when we live in an environment that's so overstimulated, when you reduce the environmental stimulus, you tune in a way that facilitates a processing of whatever the content is that you're working with in that particular moment. So if you're like trying to improve your pitch and you like, want to like throw a real wicked curveball, right? Like you can like do that in the tank. You can be imagining that, right? And so there's an element of rehearsal that can go into, people who are working on like the imaginal components of kind of improved performance aspects. But then it also is associated with increased creativity. New ideas come for you, right? Maybe you're working on a project and you're feeling a little stuck. This is a great space to come and just like, tune in, and then like you'll be really surprised like what comes to you through it and after it, right? We really want to be synonymous with a space where creative individuals and high performers can come and really tap into that, right? The power of the potential for their creativity or their performance goals. So that's flotation rest.
I was also curious, there is light that you can have on in there as well. Sure. And it's red light when I've done it. So I'm curious if that is also of a certain...
We have it set to red light very intentionally. We want, some people are a little bit anxious about having an experience like this for the first time. They may not want it to be in kind of total darkness, though there is even still some light that may creep in through the door. Our facility has tanks with doors, not pods that you have to pull down. So we chose red light because when you close your eyes, it's less, it permeates less through the skin membrane than it would with another color of light. So we basically wanted to be able to offer our clients the opportunity to have a low light on. There's also like some twinkle stars that you can choose to have on if you want. It's sort of a user experience, kind of customization that folks can choose to take part in if they'd like. The frequencies also can be customized in terms of volume. They can either be low, medium, high, or off. And so some people are more sensitive to the sounds, and they can choose to have it on a low volume or a high volume. I like it really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does the frequencies work in the float tank? Like, does it
through the speakers?
Water through the speakers?
Yeah, the speakers are there's four speakers, surround sound speakers. And so I developed the protocol. So I chose which frequencies would be included in this, first iteration of a standard protocol for stress reduction and relaxation. We do have the vision to create other protocols that are more specifically targeted to different issues, but we just opened in January. So we're trying to kind of get it get it started under this one. And then, you know, we can customize protocols for different sort of issues over time.
And so it comes through the speakers, is vibrating through the water and into the mm-hmm. body. That's sort of the mechanism of how you're receiving it, obviously through the ears as well.
Yes, the ears and the body, but through sound. Through sound.
So I recently heard and learned that sound is, it's actually like light almost until it goes into the ears and then it's turned into sound.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, seems bizarre in a way, but I guess makes sense when it's like you can't see the sound.
Well, for instance, we have, well, you can see sound in the study of cymatics, right? So people will take a vibrating panel of, right, and put either water or sand and administer the frequency through the panel. And you can take stills or video of that. And so you can see sound. Sound actually organizes information in different geometric patterns. So essentially we're using particular frequencies or particular sounds to help create that resonant patterning at a molecular level in the body mind. You mentioned like, you know, so I'll share this. We have one clinician who's fluent in American Sign Language. And so we are looking to create promotional materials to invite people who do not have hearing to come to our facility. And we're really excited to be working with those folks because, again, they won't be hearing the sound, but they could conceivably be receiving the benefit of the frequency in the water as it works with the whole body's system. So we're, you know, TBD on that.
Very interesting. Yeah. So the frequencies are, like you mentioned, when you do that with the water, and I've seen video of that, it's really interesting to look mm-hmm. at. You said it's organizing geometric structure of those molecules of water.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's generally known that we are made up of a lot of water in our cells. And
yeah.
Is that how that is sort of affecting the body on that deep level? Is it's reorganizing the structure of the water within ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
so, then also pairing that with the attention and intention to create that coherent state within yourself. So it's sort of, it's both an external and an internal process, right? Because we're encouraging folks to be imagining the coherent patterns within themselves while they're also then receiving this kind of molecular massage.
Yeah, that is an important part, because you're not accidentally falling into this and unconsciously receiving this molecular, you know, massage, but you're also intentionally going into some level of darkness,
yeah.
some silence with yeah. your
yeah. Yeah, we think you could think of it about as like cultivating the internal environment for the receiving of that, right? And some people do pass out in the tanks. Actually, we had somebody fall asleep so deeply that they didn't even wake up when the time to get out of the tank script turned on and the lights came on and the filtration system started running. They were just very, very deeply relaxed. And we were grateful to receive that feedback. But yeah, some people do fall asleep.
So I've had that experience a couple of times, but it feels very different than sleep. I've done it. I've had that experience also, like in the end of like a holotropic breathing session as well, where it's like you do surrender to really like the oneness of the sort of universal field. And then you kind of come back and it's like, wait, was I sleeping? And so I'm curious, like, if you know anything about that state and that, you know, what that is compared to maybe normal sleep.
Yeah, I mean, it might just be like a theta or a gamma state. You know, it's hard to say without taking the measurements, but that's the juicy spot, right? Like that's like samadhi. That's like the thing, right? That feels so good, you know, when you're able to allow yourself to surrender in that way. So, you know, again, it's like for some people, it's really helpful to have language to describe this. And, you know, we're kind of in the business of like facilitating the experiencing of it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It is hard to describe. And I mean, I've had a number of experiences and, you know, you mentioned the going off and drinking ayahuasca. I've done that as well. And yeah, a lot of it is like very hard to put words to. Like our language is very limited in terms of
Yeah. Which actually might be a good segue into talking a little bit more about the scalar upgrade, which I know you were interested in. So the scalar upgrade is our sort of premium service. It's a 45-minute service that uses a scalar technology called the Rasha. I think it's important to differentiate between what is scalar energy and what is a scalar technology. Scalar energy is ubiquitous. It's this sort of everywhere and nowhere all at once. Scalar waves permeate through physical surfaces in a way that traditional transverse waves do not. So it's believed to be omnipresent, and that's why I use the word ubiquitous. It's everywhere. So you are scalar energy. There is no separation between you and that which that is. I sort of, in talking about it, I describe it as a sort of pure form of potentiality, a potential energy or potential for electromagnetic information, which can be facilitated through the administration of these frequency protocols. Now, a scalar technology, of which the Rasha is one example, has the ability to, much like we've talked about structuring water, right? Structure space itself such that the frequencies become more bioavailable to the human body mind. So that's basically for someone who wants to know what this is. It's a there's a hardware, which is called the Rasha, has three hand-wound Tesla coils and inert noble gases in plasma tubes. And when that device is turned on, you can think of the field or the environment around it as being more structured. I kind of like to think about it like an electrical storm, like you know, you can feel the hair on your arms or neck kind of peak. It allows for the awakening of that potentiality that resides within us, right? And then again, we're playing sound, which is administered in this case through headphones and on a vibrating waterbed. So it's felt at the level of the body and also heard. Though we recently had someone come in who the headphones weren't completely plugged in, and so they were on there the whole time and they thought they were just noise canceling headphones. And so, you know, we gave them another service, but
Yeah. So I found you because I was like in desperate need of some restorative nervous system healing. And I was like, okay, there's gotta be a float tank near me. What can I find? And I found your website, and this was probably a week or two after you opened. And then I was like, scalar upgrade, like Rasha, what is this? And I'd never heard of it. And I've experienced and explored a lot of stuff in this, you know, like I mentioned HeartMath and Joe Dispenza, and I've gone to this place in Sedona called BioCybernaut, which is pretty interesting in terms of brainwave experience, I guess. And so I'd never heard it before. I found a podcast with the guy who created it, and
very
way with, you know, his story and also his, you know, evolution of Tesla's technology and this different type of math, I guess, quantum physics, essentially.
Well, he talks about a lot about base 12 mathematics, but there's actually a fundamental interrelatedness between base 12 and base 10. Our mathematical system is traditionally conceived of as base 10, and he's done a lot of talking about what is base 12, but they're mirror systems. So there's really no, I believe that they're one.
Okay.
It's just another way to think about math.
Okay. But yes, it's extremely interesting and I guess rare. There's not a lot of these pieces of hardware out in the world. So
yeah,
certainly curious to come in and experience this.
You tried it yet?
That's right. And I brought my partner in and she tried it recently as well. And I'm
your partner, I think, who had the experience with the headphones.
Oh, I wonder. I don't know if it was.
Okay.
But you know, it's really interesting and I'm definitely planning on coming back and trying it again.
Yeah.
But curious how you would describe the difference between the float tank with the frequencies versus the Rasha and these frequencies and what's happening, if you can.
Yeah, well, I think I've sort of already answered that question, but I'm happy to say it again. So a strong scalar technology has the ability to structure space in such a way that the frequencies are more bioavailable. It's understood that it brings the cellular potentiality of, up to the ideal range of 70 to 90 millivolts. And it's sort of like, the word that comes to mind is activates. It sort of awakens and activates the biofield in a way that is enhanced by the use of the scalar technology.
So when it's structuring space and making it open to this more potential, that space is us.
Yes.
Structuring.
You are actually 99.999% space repeating. I mean, and you know, if you zoom in, zoom in, and zoom in, you know.
So it's sort of optimizing my whole self system to receive the frequencies in a more potent way, essentially.
Yes. Yes. And again, we're pairing that with the internal work, right? Of connecting with the heart, with the mind, so that you can be in a state of receivership, or receiving of that information.
Yeah. And that's topical for me because I think it's become evident in some of my personal work that being in a state of receivership, receiving love ultimately, is quite challenging. You know, I think myself, and I'm not alone, like there's a sort of guardedness around the heart because an unconscious belief of, well, it's not safe to allow and receive all the love that I could potentially receive. And I'm curious if that's something you see, and seems like, you know, what you're offering is really a nurturing of that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And so, you know, the space is really beautiful, but the expression lounge, I think is what you call it.
Yeah. The expressive arts lounge. Yeah. Yeah.
Really unique, addition or component to the services and experience too. So I'm curious, you know, is that from day one, something you really wanted to have there and be a part of it?
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, we wanted, you know, the concept for this business really came through in relationship to space and place. So the you know, we have a lease and we built out the space, right? So in the beginning, you walk in and it's really open, right? And there's a curved bench seating area, and that's where the meditation takes place. We really wanted that to feel like a warm hug when you walk in. It's got a lot of natural elements, a lot of indoor outdoor views, big open space with a spiral light feature that then takes you further down the hallway. And then our services are sort of centrally located in the middle of the space. And so you are, you know, it's a physical manifestation of the journey into the self, right? And going deeper and deeper into the self. And at the back of the hallway is the hearth, right? A little candlelit kind of fireplace situation with a lovely U-shaped sofa and a large round table and a variety of sort of semi-structured prompts in the expressive arts to facilitate a deepening of the integration of whatever content comes up for you when you're in our space. I have been trained in person-centered expressive arts therapy. My mother is also a mentioned clinical psychologist and person-centered expressive arts therapy who was trained by Natalie Rogers, who's the daughter of Carl Rogers, the famous humanistic psychologist. So this sort of comes in a lineage of like how to work with people in an open-ended, semi-structured way to facilitate their own processing of their unique sensation, images, feelings, or thoughts. You know, we don't have the answers for you. Only you have answers for yourself. So we're here to listen, we're here to support, and we're here to encourage. But it's an area where people can kind of think of it like a Montessori playground, right? We have pastels, we have crayons, we have collage, we have sand trays, we have clay. You know, it's kind of just like a place to just allow yourself to be a little silly, or, you know, play with a rain stick, or, you know, just kind of make some clay balls or whatever.
That's it's very cool. And the first time I came, I was like, oh, that's really interesting, but I'm gonna leave. And then the next time was, okay, maybe I will grab a piece of paper. And I find myself like allowing more of that part of come through, and then, you know, seeing other people like really going for it in there, and it's like, wow, that's awesome. You know, it's
it's so great. I personally just get so much joy when people allow themselves to go there in there, right? Like, to your point, it is sort of like, well, what am I supposed to do here? So we do have, you know, suggested prompts up on the wall, like creating from the stem, I am, I see, I remember. Allow yourself to pick a color that represents your experience and fill it in, right? So there's, you know, different prompts if people are like, well, what do I do here? We have suggestions, but you can also just like kind of bring a journal, sit down. We've got some tea. We've got really delicious alive water in a copper, you know, container. So you're getting all the benefits of that. You know, it's just a place to play and to be in community in relationship to, you know, the space and yourself and anybody else who's there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a special place. You know, I've experienced different, you know, float tank situations and a wide variety of these things, and it's very rarely presented in a beautiful environment. I would have to
say. Thank you, Ryan. That means a lot.
Anyone, you know, listening or coming to LA or living in LA, I definitely highly recommend checking it out.
Yeah, come check us out. You can book online, www.quantumclinic.com.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about yourself and your journey and what you're bringing to the world.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Ryan.
Of course. I'm just going to hit the stop record.